Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, January 18th. MISD OKs key agenda items for 2023 bond. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. The Midland ISD Board of Trustees approved multiple agenda items related to the 2023 bond at their January meeting on Tuesday. In November, Midland voters approved a $1.4 billion school bond, and MISD approved agenda items related to these plans. First, the board approved a pool of 12 architecture and engineering firms that will be considered for design services on projects related to the 2023 bond program. Trustees approved Pfluger Architects as the firm from the approved pool to design the new Legacy High School and Midland High School portion of the project, a press release from MISD states. MISD Chief of Facilities and Operations, Courtney Smith, said there were a total of 18 qualified submissions from architectural and engineering firms. Smith said the 12 firms in the pool are not necessarily guaranteed to work on a 2023 bond project, but the pool allows MISD to pick a design firm for each individual project. The pool includes Parkhill, WRA Architects, MWM Architects, Jacob and Martin, DLR Group, Vandergrift Group Architects, JSA Architects, Chapman Harvey Architects, JDMA Architects, Corgan, and PBK Architects, according to an MISD press release. The vote approving the pool of 12 and Pfluger Architects passed unanimously. Smith said MISD will search for a construction manager for the Legacy and Midland High School projects around early summer. The board approved the purchase of a 65-acre property located at the southwest corner and southeast corner of Chawler Road and South County Road 1235. Smith said it will cost $4.9 million. Although Smith said there are no official plans or schedules for the plot of land, he mentioned a few ideas for the future. Quote, "We can use this as a future school site. It's 65 acres, so it's really large enough to put two elementaries, if you wanted, just for future plans for the district to use as they see fit," Smith said. Trustees also approved a pool of vendors for surveying and geotechnical services for 2023 bond projects. Those vendors are Magrum Consulting and Terra Testing for geotechnical services, according to MISD. In a press release, MISD shared that this past week, crews were at the future site of the new elementary school being built in Northeast Midland. MISD include Centurion Planning and Design, NProtec, Hibbs & Todd, KMCE, Dunaway Associates, Half Associates, and Maverick Engineering for surveying, as well as CQC Testing and Engineering, Millennium Engineers Group. Terra Crews took soil samples at the site, a step in determining the facility's foundational needs. The school will be similar in design to Fasken and Yarborough Elementary. The new school is on schedule to open in August 2025, MISD said. Pacheco homicide case back in spotlight. TikTok video features criminal investigation. The story was written by B. K. Richter. A 2006 Capitol murder case is making headlines again after a TikTok video went viral. The video is a preview for an investigative segment titled American Monster. The basis of the investigative crime show is a double homicide committed in Midland relating to the deaths of Barbara Pacheco and Odessan Eric Wiggs Jr. The video presents Barbara's aunt, Mary Perez, recollecting how Barbara's spouse, Aldo Pacheco, mistreated Barbara and became unpredictable. Quote, "He started treating her resentfully. It was all Barbara's fault," Perez said in the TikTok video. Aldo Pacheco, age 37 at the time, was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole in the 238th Judicial District Courtroom in November of 2006. According to prior media reports, 4 days of emotional testimony ended with jurors returning a guilty verdict after more than 3 hours of deliberation. Prosecutors in the Aldo Pacheco capital murder trial also replayed a 911 call that recorded the victim's plea for help and a fatal shotgun blast. Barbara Pacheco, an Odessa elementary school teacher, could be heard screaming, "No, no," before a shotgun blast 46 seconds later from her twin son's bedroom. The second shot was not played in the courtroom. The two victims were both teachers at Cavazos Elementary School, officials with the Ector County School District said. Wiggs was a special education teacher, and Barbara Pacheco taught third grade. Media reports covering the trial state that defense lawyer Ray Fivecoat called the killings a crime of passion. Quote, "Passion is a dangerous thing, and it was the whole reason for the nightmare on Pine Avenue on that day," Fivecoat said. Prosecutors for the case maintained that both of the homicides were intentional and referred to them as executions. Officials confirmed that on the day of the occurrence, Barbara Pacheco had a protective order against her estranged husband. Previously, Aldo Pacheco had been arrested for kidnapping his wife and then holding her at knife point. He was out on bond and still awaiting trial when the shootings occurred. After shooting both Wiggs and his estranged spouse, Aldo Pacheco was reported as shooting himself in the face. He was hospitalized for his injury at Midland Memorial Hospital. Barbara Pacheco left behind 4 children, and Wiggs left behind a daughter. Aldo Pacheco, now 54, is serving his life sentence at the Texas Department of Criminal Justice William G. McConnell Unit in Bee County, Texas. Investors discuss benefits and financing. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Local investors in the Hotel Santa Rita project, a proposed hotel in downtown Midland, shared information on community benefits, a timeline, and financing. A group of local investors, downtown employers, and foundations are partnering for the proposed project, a 4-star hotel at 300 West Texas Avenue with 135 rooms, an 8,000-square-foot ballroom, 4 meeting rooms, a restaurant, bar, and a public parking facility. Dan Horde, Jack Harper, Michael McWilliams, local businessmen and investors, talked with media Wednesday and addressed frequently asked questions regarding the project. Hotel Santa Rita investors and supporters discussed how the proposed hotel would improve Midland and fit into a downtown that's set for improvement soon. Krista Escamilla of Escamilla Media said the proposed hotel will become the designated conference center hotel downtown. As business centers like the Bush Convention Center bring visitors to Midland from all over the country, the hotel's vision is to become a hub for business travelers and locals. Quote, "A successful downtown is utilized by everybody, Harper said. Certainly, the businesses that are headquartered here, that provide the growth engine for the city, their employees, their boards. I think it enhances the existing investments we have already talked about, the Convention Center, the Centennial Park, and last and certainly not least, it improves the quality of place in Midland forever. End quote. The hotel will be presented to the Midland City Council upon receiving approval and permits. The hotel should be open in around 3 years. McWilliams said the total investment of the project should exceed $150 million, the majority of which will come from Midland-based investors, partners, and foundations. Quote, the fund will come through MDC, the Midland Development Corporation, and through City Council approval, we anticipate MDC contributing $45 million over a 5 to 6 year time frame, and the city will provide tax rebates and incentives for a 10-year period. So, when you add up all the incentives and payments from the city and MDC, it's approximately 35% of the total capital required for this project, which is in line with the best practices for cities and communities all over the state who have done similar types of these convention center hotel projects, McWilliams said. The hotel is proposed to open in late 2026 or early 2027. Harper said the project has the backing of local businesses and community leaders that have essentially matched the city's development dollars toward the project. The hotel will be presented to the Midland City Council on Tuesday. Fibin at the Wagner. The Panhandlers delight Midland fans with storytelling music. The story was written by B.K. Richter. The Panhandlers rocked the Wagner Noel on Sunday. The West Texas band, consisting of Josh Abbott, John Bauman, William Clark Green, and Cleto Cordero, brought their sounds to a Midland crowd. Quote, the sound is a sonic landscape right out of a hot afternoon in Lubbock, Texas, said Bauman in a press release from the band's website. Cordero also referred to the band's sounds as storytelling music. Quote, the songs are vignettes of West Texas life, but when you put them together, they make a mosaic, he said in a press release. The band says their album is pure West Texas and laced with pedal steel, fiddle, banjo, dobro, guitar, and percussion. For more information on their tour dates, go to thepanhandlers.com/tour.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, January 18th, 2024. Entertainment. What's Up in Midland by Morgan Taylor Thomas. At the Arts Council of Midland, the open show Thursday, wire-wrapped jewelry class Friday. At the Blue Door, the office trivia January 25th. At Centennial Library, adult coloring group, January 22nd and 29th. On Colorado Street, Downtown Farmers Market, new location every Saturday. At Golf Course Road Church of Christ, food truck Fridays, every Friday. At the Horseshoe, West Texas Wedding Expo Sunday. At Permian Basin Hiring Event, January 25th. West Texas Hunting Extravaganza, January 27th. At La Hacienda, La Fiera de Ojinaga, January 26th. At Riley's Bar and Grill, Burgers and Bands, every Wednesday. At the Senior Center, line dancing class every Tuesday. At Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia every Tuesday, Bingo Night Thursday, Seasonal Beer Release Saturday, Bird Lady Beer Release January 27th, Karaoke Night January 27th. At Texas Sun Winery, live music with the Croakin' Toads Friday, live music with CPR Acoustics January 26th, Paint Party January 30th. At the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, West Texas Winds Spring Recital Thursday, Breaking Benjamin Unplugged January 23rd, Brian Regan January 25th, Jason Fabus Trio, January 27th. The Board Teachers Comedy Tour, January 28th. Pretty Woman the Musical, January 30th. At the Waystone, Cookie Encounter Workshop, Saturday. Three things to do this weekend in Midland. January 19th and 20th, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Check out the Open Show. Every year, the Arts Council of Midland hosts a month-long open call for Permian Basin artists to display their work. Known as the Open Show, paintings, sculptures, photographs, prints, fiber arts, drawings, collages, and more can be seen throughout the former home-turned nonprofit. Thursday evening, an opening ceremony will be held, and winners for Best in Show and First Place will be announced. These two will go on to have a complimentary show at the Arts Council later in the year. For admission prices and operating hours, visit acmidland.org. Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 1506 West Illinois. Jam with the Croakin' Toads. One of Midland's most popular crews, the Croakin' Toads bring all the flavor to any gig. A cover band made up of Zach Nevis, Pete Tung, Trey Walker, and Paul Culver. TCT plays everything from Maroon 5 and The Weeknd to The Cure and Jimi Hendrix. Small plates and tapas will be available for purchase from Texas Sun Winery, along with a plethora of craft wines. No cover charge. Friday, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., at 3415 North Loop 250 West, Suite 305. Prep for your special day. The annual West Texas Wedding Expo takes over the Horseshoe this weekend, known as the largest wedding and quinceanera exposition in West Texas. Guests can expect over 100 booths featuring floral arrangements, dresses, bridesmaid options, traditional quince changing of shoes options, and more. Fashion shows, food and drink samples, and vendors galore. Entry tickets should be purchased at wtbridal.com. Saturday, noon to 4 p.m. at the Horseshoe, 2415 Arena Trail. Tackling literacy problem in Permian Basin. One Book, One Basin looks to promote exciting community engagement opportunities, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. As a librarian and bookseller in Amarillo, Randy Ham's passion for reading went beyond his 9-to-5. During that time, he watched a community reading program flourish by providing locals not only with exciting reading options, but with relatable connections as well. After moving back to his hometown of Odessa, he joined the county library. With a deep knowledge of the Permian Basin's literacy problem, he decided to create a community reading program geared towards promoting literacy and community, just like he saw in Amarillo. In 2011, One Book Odessa was born. For better or worse, we are beholden to the cycles of a boom and bust economy. During boom times, you can just walk out the doors of high school into employment, make more than you can ever imagine, and go straight to work without maybe sitting through education. But then the bust comes, and you're out of work. You haven't finished school, and you're not reading at the level you need to be reading to sustain at a job, the current Odessa Arts executive director explained. For all the good things that come out of the boom times, the bust times are the things that hamper our workforce's ability to sustain a job, and that affects our literacy rate. The Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin conducted an analysis in 2022, resulting in the following data. 26% of Midland County adults and 36% of Ector County adults read at a second grade reading level or less. When the pandemic put the literacy program on hold, Ham didn't know if the crew could bounce back. Fortunately, after a lot of work and dedication, the 2024 relaunch brings the Permian Basin more participation opportunities and a new name, One Book, One Basin. One Book, One Basin creates an opportunity for parents to set an example for their children, because when children see their parents reading, they're more likely to read. You get this whole family activity through reading, Ham stated. Being able to pull in some authors that wouldn't necessarily come to West Texas through a program like this exposes the community to ideas, people, and themes that we wouldn't normally get because we're isolated out here by ourselves. The project features two authors and book features. For adults, the Pulitzer Prize winner, The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay by Michael Chabon. Children will read The Cloak Society by Jeremy Kratz. Literacy events run through February 13th, with the main event being an interview with Chabon at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, part of the UTPB Shepherd Leadership Institute lecture series. For both county libraries, UTPB, the Literacy Coalition, and Ray Charitable Trust to come together and be able to put this together in a way that's really going to benefit the community just makes me so proud, Ham added. To stay up to date on schedule changes or additions, visit onebookonebasin.com. Schedule. January 20th, Session 1. Create a comic book class at Ector County Library. January 23rd, Community Book Club at Homemade Wines, Odessa. January 27th, Session 2. Create a comic book class at Midland County Library Centennial Branch. January 30th, Community Book Club at Barnes & Noble, Midland. February 2nd, First Friday, ODTX at Downtown Odessa. February 3rd, Session 3, Create a Comic Book Class at Ector County Library. February 4th, Michael Chabon Lecture at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. February 6th, John Carter, free screening at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. February 10th, Session 4, Create a Comic Book Class at Midland County Library, Centennial Branch.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, January 18th. Evelyn Lynn McEwen passed away peacefully at home on Thursday, January 11th, after an extended battle with Alzheimer's disease at the age of 88. Evelyn Madeline Eccles was born October 9, 1935, at the doctor's office in McKamey to Johnny Inez Taylor Eccles and Joseph Durant J.D. Eccles. They lived in many West Texas towns, including McKamey, Rankin, Seminole, Fort Stockton, and Odessa. At the age of 13, she met her best friend and love of her life, Melvin McEwen. They married in Rankin in June 1952. In the early 70s, she did temporary work through Snelling and Snelling, and in 1973, she joined Midland Memorial Hospital. She worked at MMH in the accounting payroll department. She retired from MMH in 1981. Lynn decided to go back to work and joined Parker and Parsley in 1992. While with P&P, they changed to Pioneer Natural Resources. She was a tax and royalty analyst until she retired again in late 1999. Lynn became a volunteer during local elections and at the Midland Visitor Center. She was preceded in death by her husband, her parents and grandparents, brother Albert, brothers-in-law Donald McEwen, Marvin McEwen, and Tommy Hudson, and sister-in-law Kay Hudson Towery. She is survived by her three children, Mella McEwen, Gary McEwen, and Lori Fields, as well as six grandchildren. She is also survived by 15 great-grandchildren. Services will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, January 18th, at Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Cemetery. The family requests donations be made to Lone Star Sanctuary for Animals, Home Hospice, or the charity of your choice. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. James Lewis May, also known as Dr. Jim May, died on January 12th in Wimberley, Texas, after a lengthy battle with cancer. He was born on October 29, 1943, in Houston, Texas, the son of Loretha Henderson May and James Allen May. He was predeceased by his parents, by his sister Regina Cantwell, and one son, Louis Henderson. He is survived by his wife Elizabeth O'Brien May, his children Travis May and his wife Wendy Ann May, Jonathan Brew May, and his wife Mika Mojica May, his daughter Meredith May Peeler, and her husband Andrew Peeler, and several grandchildren. He is also survived by his mother-in-law, Winnie O'Brien, sister-in-law, Gwen Emmett, and her husband, Judge Ed Emmett, and brother-in-law, Tom O'Brien, and wife, Karen. Jim May earned a Ph.D. from Texas Tech University in Marriage and Family Therapy and found his true vocation. He was blessed to be in private practice in Midland for almost 30 years. Professionally, he was a licensed marriage and family therapist, licensed chemical dependency counselor, and American Association for Marriage and family therapy. After retiring and moving to Wimberley, he continued to be active in his church. While in Midland, Dr. May was very active in the community, serving Hospice of Midland, Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity, American Cancer Society of Midland, Midland Memorial Hospital Board of Trustees, as well as many other community organizations. A memorial service will be held at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church on January 27th at 2 p.m. In lieu of flowers, if you wish to do so, please make contributions to St. Stephen's Episcopal Church or St. Stephen's Episcopal School in Wimberley, Texas, or to the charity of your choice. Pete Bateman was born on September 20, 1955, in Guymon, Oklahoma, to Marion Palmer Pete Bateman Jr. and Catherine Allen Bateman. He worked various oil field jobs, starting with Marathon Oil Company in Ira Ann, Texas. He worked numerous jobs, but found his home in the last years of his life working for Stealth Oil Field Services and considered them an extended family. Pete was preceded in death by his parents, Marion Bateman and Catherine Bateman, and his oldest sister, Nancy Dunlap. He is survived by his older sister, Mary Rylander, and her husband, Rick Rylander, younger brother, John Bateman, and his wife, Kelly, and brother-in-law, Spencer Dunlap. He is also survived by several nieces and nephews. Services will be held at 10 a.m. on Friday, January 19th, at First Methodist Church in Midland, Texas, with longtime friend Bob Beaver officiating. Interment will follow at Restland Cemetery in Ira Ann, Texas. Arrangements are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services in Midland. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. In lieu of flowers, the family would like donations in Pete's name made to Permian Basin Oil Patch Kids, Mission Messiah, and Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center. Florence Flo Beeson Curry died on December 29th at the age of 87. Flo was born on December 11th, 1936, the second oldest of eight children of Mamie and Porter Beeson, who raised their family on a small farm in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. Flo graduated from Broken Bow High School and later attended the University of Tulsa. She eventually settled in Midland, Texas, working for Tenneco Oil Company and as a model in her 20s and 30s. In 1975, after she married and had two children, she acquired a private real estate company, which she owned and successfully operated as a sole proprietorship until her death. Flo was preceded in death by her husband, Max Earl Curry, and her infant son, Michael Ray Hall, her brothers, Robert and Virgil Beeson, and her sisters, Glenda Haltom and Sandra Mayfield. She is survived by her daughter, Angela Esmond Spencer, and her husband, Greg, of Midland, and by her son, James W. Esmond, and his wife, Harriet, of Midland. She is also survived by six grandchildren and by eight great-grandchildren. She is also survived by her sister, Lisa Meany, and her brothers, Bucky and Roy Beeson. There will be a small service for immediate family members. The family asks that, in lieu of flowers, donations be made to the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center in memory of Flo Curry, or to a charity of your choice. Arrangements have been entrusted to Ellis Resthaven Funeral Home and Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Charles Schwope, age 91, of Midland, passed away on Friday, January 12th. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, January 20th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Chapel. Charles was born on December 16, 1932, in Shattuck, Oklahoma, to Raymond and Amelia Overbaugh Schwope. He graduated from Oklahoma State University in 1956 and went on to become a petroleum engineer with Carter Oil, which then became ExxonMobil, which he retired from in 1986. He married Rosemary Prigmore. They had five children, Charlotte, Glenn, Robert Schwope, Cheryl Osbin, Richard Schwope, and Ron Schwope. He had 12 grandchildren, several great-grandchildren, and even a few great-great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents and son, Robert, and a brother and a sister. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to First Baptist Church, where he was a longtime member, or the American Cancer Society. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Beatrice Martinez, age 93, passed away on Monday, January 15th. Viewing will be Friday, January 19th, from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary beginning at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Arrangements have been entrusted to Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, January 18th. Feds approve 12 months of Medicaid coverage for low-income Texas moms. Texas moms will be able to stay on Medicaid for a year after childbirth after the Federal Centers of Medicare and Medicaid approved the state's application on Wednesday, according to emails obtained by the Texas Tribune. The move caps a years-long effort to extend coverage for low-income moms. Medicaid covers half of all births in Texas, but coverage currently expires after 2 months. In 2021, the federal government found Texas's application for continued coverage unapprovable due to medically inaccurate language extended to include women who had abortions. But when Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022, giving states the right to ban abortion, the idea gained traction. During the last regular session, lawmakers worked to reach an approval that the federal government would approve the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services approval on Wednesday made Texas the 43rd state to be approved for the extended coverage, which was authorized by the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 and the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023. The approval goes into effect on March 1, 2024. Under the Texas plan, anyone whose pregnancy ended in the months prior to March 1st and lost postpartum Medicaid coverage is eligible to re-enroll to maintain coverage until 12 months after their pregnancy ended. This is a fantastic step forward to support healthy moms and babies, said Diana Forrester, Director of Health Policy at Texans Care for Children. Maternal health advocates have been calling for a full year of postpartum Medicaid for years, and it's long been the top recommendation from the state's Maternal Mortality and Morbidity Review Committee. During the regular legislative session last year, the bill to expand postpartum Medicaid for pregnant women caught bipartisan support from a wide-ranging coalition of legislators and advocates, and it initially passed the Texas House with overwhelming backing. But the bill hit a snag in the Senate as Republicans demanded an amendment that specified women who had elective abortions do not qualify for the extended Medicaid coverage. The original bill said simply that the coverage began on the last day of pregnancy. It did not specify how the pregnancy had to end. Abortion is banned in Texas except to save the life of the pregnant patient. Anti-abortion groups have said that allowing extended Medicaid coverage to go to women who had out-of-state or illicit abortions is tantamount to using state funds to support abortion. Throughout the session, advocates called for the legislature to pass a clean bill that matches the language in Medicaid guidelines to ensure the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services quickly accepts the state's application for the extension. The law now includes a legislative purpose section that reads, "Out of the state's profound respect for the lives of mothers and unborn children, Medicaid coverage is extended for mothers whose pregnancies end in the delivery of the child or end in the natural loss of the child." We are so grateful to Representative Tony Rose, Democrat Dallas, Senator Lois Kohlhorst, Republican Brenham, the staff of the Texas Health and Human Services Commission, HHSC, and everyone else who worked hard to make this happen, Forrester said in the emailed statement. Disagreements between elected officials get a lot of attention, but this is an example of how our state legislators really can come together to improve access to health care for Texas families. This bill comes at a crucial moment as millions of Texans face the end of Medicaid benefits for the first time since the COVID-19 pandemic began in March 2020. Texans who receive Medicaid benefits are encouraged to make sure their information is up to date at yourtexasbenefits.com. MC leaders vote to join downtown improvement effort. The city of Midland is reporting that Midland College joined in the effort to improve downtown. Midland College trustees on Tuesday approved the college's participation in the Tax Increment Reinvestment Zone, TIRZ, which will help deliver revenues to reinvest into improvements downtown. District 2 Councilman John Norman, whose district includes downtown, stated the benefits will include infrastructure and public improvements, economic development, property value appreciation, and enhanced quality of life for all Midlanders, a news release said. "I believe that the establishment of the downtown TIRZ will be instrumental in fostering economic growth and revitalization downtown," Norman said. Midland College and the Midland College Hospital District have joined the City of Midland with an endorsement of the TIRZ and the benefits it is expected to bring to the community. The TIRZ could provide as much as $120 million in revenue from participating downtown properties over a 30-year term. That investment could be used for lighting, safety, parking and trash projects, including signage, alley revitalization, and other improvements. It also provides a funding source for the Centennial Entertainment Overlay District, which will be used to promote a vibrant and active core in Midland's Central Business District. "By establishing this TIRZ in downtown Midland, it will significantly contribute to its growth and prosperity," Norman stated. Free webinar to help fight human trafficking offered by TABC and TRA. Austin, the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission and the Texas Restaurant Association are conducting a free webinar on January 18th to educate individuals working in the alcoholic beverage industry on the warning signs of human trafficking and how to report it. The free online webinar begins at 2 p.m. Thursday, January 18th. Participants may register at https://bit.ly/3SAIAQX. Industry members may also request a recording of the webinar by emailing Erica Valdriz at evaldriz@txrestaurant.org. The joint webinar is part of both groups' effort to recognize Human Trafficking Prevention Month, the annual observance announced by Governor Greg Abbott on January 3rd, is intended to raise awareness of human trafficking while empowering Texans to report suspected crime. TABC is a statutory directive to prevent criminal activity at TABC licensed locations, and human trafficking is among the many crimes the agency works to stop. The webinar will help business owners and their employees identify the signs of human trafficking and report concerning activity to law enforcement, according to TABC Executive Director Thomas Graham. Our best tool to fight human trafficking is the eyes and ears of all Texans, he said. TABC is proud to work with our partners in the Texas Restaurant Association and the alcoholic beverage industry to help make a safer Texas for all. TABC and the TRA have a long history of partnering to promote public safety through webinars, in-person training, and other initiatives. Human trafficking is a preventable crime that occurs throughout Texas, said Emily Williams Knight, ED, Doctorate, President, and CEO of the Texas Restaurant Association. We're proud to be working hand in hand with the TABC to empower our industry so we can lead in the effort to stop this human trafficking in Texas. For information on the Texas Restaurant Association, visit www.txrestaurant.org. For more information on TABC, visit tabc.texas.gov. Harmony Science Academy, Midland, to host free coding workshop. Harmony Science Academy, Midland, has announced its free coding workshop for all kids in the Permian Basin area. This unique workshop aims at to inspire young minds, fostering creativity, problem-solving skills, and a passion for technology. The workshop is open to any Midland Odessa student in the area. It will be held at 10 a.m. January 20th at its Midland Admission Office, 4400 North Midland Drive, Suite 404. To sign up, families can visit tinyurl.com/59U4ER36. The workshop will combine learning with play, ensuring that kids have a blast while obtaining coding skills. Hands-on coding activities and games that will keep kids actively involved and excited about coding. Kids will have a chance to connect with like-minded peers, fostering a sense of community and collaboration. Workshop instructors will be dedicated to providing a supportive and engaging environment. This workshop is perfect for beginners, and no prior coding experience is necessary. We are excited to inspire the next generation of innovators through our coding workshop. At Harmony Science Academy, we are committed to providing a stimulating and supportive environment where children can explore, create, and learn. Danny Marquez, Director of Marketing and Communication for Harmony Public Schools West Texas, said in a news release. Harmony Science Academy Midland will be located at Loop 250, Frontage Road, and Meadowside Street. Supported by the generous donations of Permian Strategic Partnership and the Abel Hanger Foundation, The campus will initially open in August 2024 to pre-K through fifth grade students in a modular classroom setting as construction continues on its state-of-the-art campus nearby. The campus will expand to further grades in 2025-26. A second Odessa campus also is scheduled to open in 2025-26 to go along with the current Harmony Science Academy Odessa. HSA Odessa currently is one of Harmony's most applied to campuses in the state. Harmony Public Schools is currently accepting applications for the 2024-25 school year for students and team members. Trustees approve architect for new high schools. Work is already underway on Midland ISD's new elementary school, and on Tuesday at its January meeting, trustees made several decisions related to making bond 2023 projects a reality. This past week, crews were at the future site of the new elementary school taking soil samples, which is a step in determining what's necessary for the facility's foundation. The new school is being built in the Lone Star Trails area, generally located in Northeast Midland. District leaders, the bond program manager, and campus representatives from special education, child nutrition services, transportation and technology, as well as the current principals from Faskin and Yarborough Elementary Schools, met for a kickoff meeting to discuss the new school and areas where the design can be improved, a news release said. The school will be similar in design to Faskin and Yarborough, so gathering feedback from campus representatives currently working in these buildings was a critical step in improving the design. The new elementary school is on track to open in August 2025. Trustees approved a pool of 12 qualified architecture and engineering firms to be considered for professional design services on projects related to the 2023 bond program. A selection committee made up of district leaders evaluated 18 submissions to determine its recommendation for the pool. The committee based its recommendation on each firm's overall experience with similar projects, specific experience of proposed project team members, capacity to perform the projects within the bond program timeline, given their intended scale, experience in the Midland area, and past relationship with the district. Trustees approved Pfluger Architects as the firm from the approved pool of design, the district's new Legacy High and Midland High School projects. Other firms in the pool are Park Hill, WRA Architects, MWM Architects, Jacob and Martin, DLR Group, Vandergriff Group Architects, JSA Architects, Chapman Harvey Architects, JDMA Architects, Corgan and PBTK Architects. Trustees also approved a pool of vendors for surveying and geotechnical services. Surveyors selected to be considered for 2023 bond projects are Centurion Planning and Design, InProtect, Hibbs and Todd, KMCE, Dunaway Associates, Half Associates, and Maverick Engineering. For geotechnical services, CQC Testing and Engineering, Millennium Engineers Group, TerraCon, Magram Consulting, and Terra Testing were approved. 22 submissions were submitted to the bond underwriting pool. Once the reviews have been completed by district administrators, the pool of bond underwriters will be presented to the board at the February board meeting. The bond order will be presented at the February board meeting. Stay up to date with the progress of executing the bond at MidlandBond2023.com. Workforce Summit moves locations. The Workforce Summit put on by Odessa Development Corporation set for January 18th has been moved to the Zant Community Room at the Salisbury Campus Center at Odessa College, 201 East University Boulevard. The event begins at 8 a.m. Feel free to share this information with anyone you know is attending. Additionally, a person will be stationed at the previously promoted location to redirect anyone who did not get a notice. Chemical manufacturer expands. Gardendale operation employs 550 people. Based at Gardendale, oilfield chemical manufacturer J-Chem Catalyst is adding 16 acres of land and 18,000 square feet of operational space to give it 65 acres and 90,000 square feet at 11,999 Highway 158. President Vern Disney said he was proud to share the news of our corporate expansion. This is a testament to our company's increasing footprint and our ability to deliver top-notch, cost-effective products to our loyal customers, Disney said. We are well-positioned to take full advantage of future growth opportunities. With the additional land, J-Chem will support a greater capacity for manufacturing, laboratory support, and general operational support for over 550 employees in the Permian Basin and over 1,070 employees in the United States, he said. Disney said the company is the largest oilfield chemical company in the basin, the second largest in the United States, and the second largest in the Mid-Continent and Rocky Mountains region. He said J-Chem Catalyst emphasizes providing customer service and tailored solutions to local problems through its decentralized model. We are committed to customer responsiveness, on-time customer deliveries, and the necessary support and services of our customers, Disney said. Our company is built by highly qualified and engaged employees with strong structural support for the overall success of our business. Our nimble approach allows us to meet the needs of our customers and continue providing them with the best-in-class service and products for their chemical needs. With more than 50 locations across the U.S., J-Chem specializes in oilfield chemical manufacturing, blending, formulating, analysis and research and development, and it offers chemical applications for oil and gas production, drill pipe and completion, stimulation, pipeline and midstream, and other specialty chemical needs. With a commitment to providing a safe and healthy work environment, J-Chem strives to protect the health and safety of its people as well as to minimize their environmental impact, Disney said.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.